I'm going to present two entities this morning. Two entities that we really begin to see as it relates back to the very beginning of time. Two entities that were present. I'm going to present one first, and then after that I'm going to present the other. And they're going to speak on their own behalf. And this lesson is designed for us to think about these two entities and which one we want in our life. Consider this first entity with me. I was born in the garden. As a matter of fact, I can go back and I can trace my very beginnings to my conception. Not that God conceived me, but because of what God did, I was conceived. God said in Genesis 2 and verse 15, the Lord took man from the garden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you will surely die. You see, my existence could not be possible without law from God. I'm dependent upon law from God. I don't respect law of God. I fight against law of God. I try to turn people away from the law of God. But my existence is dependent upon the law of God. And that is when I was very first conceived. And after my conception then, I was used by my master. In Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6, my master used me as he confronted Eve, and then as Eve then brought that fruit to her husband, Adam. And the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Said to the woman, has God really said to you that you shall not eat of the tree of the garden that is in the midst of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit that is in the midst of the garden we may not eat, lest we eat thereof and surely die. And from that point forward, my master used me. Not only here in the garden, but he would use me and will use me as long as time exists. And he uses me in deceit. Because, you see, that is where I'm from. That is my makeup. That is what I do. I am the allurement that draws people away from God. I was used by my master then, and I will always be used as long as time exists. Cain was the fruit of my work. We see in Genesis, the fourth chapter, that Cain, that his offering was not respected by God. And because of that, then, I entered into his thoughts, into his mind, and into his action. And Cain, the fruit of my work, became the very first murderer in the line of many that would exist as long as time exists. I was used for him to rectify in his mind the rightful killing of his brother. And we see that in verse 8 of Genesis, the fourth chapter. Mankind was obliterated because of me. In Genesis, the sixth chapter and verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent and thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. You see, what I did was, in my work, I continued from that very point in time in Genesis, the third chapter, with Eve and with Adam, I continued to grow. I'm not sin, but I continued to be used, and that sin is what grew. And we see here that God made determination that he would not abide man being this sort of creation that he made, where he was continually evil at all times. And because of me, as we see in Genesis, the seventh chapter, man and all living beasts on the face of the earth died. It was because of me. It was because of me. But you know, I did fail in one thing in this particular event that took place, that is the destruction of mankind. I lost 8 souls. 8 souls were saved. And we'll talk about them a little bit later on. But I missed those 8. Abram and Sarah thought me right. God had made promise to Abram that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. But Abram being 100 years old and Sarah being 90, They too combine to think within themselves, this is not possible. We have to make provision for ourselves. We must take matters into our own hands. And when we looked in Genesis 16, verse 1 and following, Sarah instructed Abram and his wife to take the handmaiden, Hagar, to lie with her and to produce seed by which Abraham would be called. But you see, when man gets involved by my urging, when man gets involved and tries to overcome what God does and what God says and God promises, disaster is the result. As a matter of fact, what's taking place from that point in time, those thousands of years ago, still afflicts man today because of the product of the seed that was not the promise. I was present and I'm the one that caused this. I caused the murmuring of Israel. After the God of heaven, his majesty and his strong arm brought out his children out of the bondage in the land of Egypt, I set into the hearts of Israel at that time to murmur, to complain continually before God and to complain to Moses. I was behind all of that. I was used by my master to influence people to do this very thing. They forgot about being released from bondage and only focused upon that which was their circumstances and so forth without faith. We're going to die in this wilderness. There's no water. There's no food. And they had no faith that God would provide them. The reason they did not have faith is that I was affecting them. I influenced them then to murmur and to complain. Not only about their life, but also about their leadership. And the first ones that I got to was Miriam and Aaron. When they questioned their brother's leadership, he has no right to do that. Has the Lord indeed, Numbers 12 and verse 2, spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it, and the Lord was very angry with Miriam and Aaron. And he explained to them, look, Moses is not like the others that I direct. I speak to him as a friend, face to face. Not in dreams, not in visions, but straightforwardly. Who are you to question the leadership? Well, the leadership was questioned because of me. Miriam became a leper for a week, not allowed back into the congregation because of me. And then later on, in Numbers, the 16th chapter, we have that account of Korah and all those that followed after him. That was a grand day for me. Because here you have the sons of Korah and all those that agreed with him to come forth and said, all of us, just as Miriam had said, are righteous before God. Who do you think you are to take upon yourself, Moses, that leadership? And because of me, there were thousands that died that day. You see, the ground clave open and shut upon them because God made determination. But I brought about that event because of my influence. Moses was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan because of me. Remember that there were two times in which God provided water to Israel. The first time God had told Moses, you go and you take your rod and you smote the rock, and that will water Israel. The second time, as we see in Numbers the 20th chapter, verses 10 through 12, Moses was instructed by God, you speak to the rock. But Moses did not believe God. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, here now, ye rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, because you did not believe me. Why did Moses not believe the Lord? Because of me. Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given you. And then Moses, this man that had put up with all the complaints, the murmuring, this man that was so meek and mild and humble above all others in the children of Israel, the one that led them out of bondage, out of Egypt, was not allowed to go into the promised land. He was allowed to see it from a mountain. And there in the place where God chose, Moses died and God buried him. It was because of me. It was a great day for me. Because, you see, I had, in a sense, overcome this leader of Israel. I caused the cycles of sin during the days of the judges. I'll give you an example. The children of Israel, Judges 10, verse 6, again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and this was the cycle that they were in. They would trust in the Lord. They would be freed from their enemies. They would be complacent. They would grow fat and complacent and satisfied. Sin once again. And then God would send a deliverer, and then that cycle would continue for 350 years. They served the Baals and the Ashtaroths, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. And you see, the reason they were doing this, they trusted in me. Judges 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own sight, rather than looking to the God of heaven. And I was the cause of that. Trust in yourselves. You know what's right. You know what to do. And every time they did, well, then they were taken captive. And every time they did, well, then they were punished. And every time they did, they were defeated. Because they trusted in themselves. They trusted in themselves because of me. I caused the hearts of Israel to trust in themselves even after this period of time, after the days of the judges. Remember in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, that the children of Israel were being defeated by the Philistines. And they made determination in their own mind, what shall we do to overcome this enemy? And they thought this way, this is what we will do. We will bring the Ark of the Covenant to the battlefront. And surely, as it was in Judges, Joshua, the 6th chapter, surely that will deliver the enemy into our hands as it had caused the walls of Jericho to fall in Joshua 6. Surely it will happen. I put that in the mind. You saw what happened. Don't wait. Go now. The Lord gave you an example. You don't have to listen to him. He's already shown forth the way. You make that determination to the way of victory. And because of that, for around 40 years, that Ark of the Covenant that was for the forgiveness of their sins, that atonement, was taken from them, was in the hands of the Philistines, and there was no forgiveness in Israel. That's because of me. Grand and glorious days because of me. 40 years without forgiveness. How wonderful it could be. If I could have expanded that period of time, I would have done it. But then there was a man that came along that was a man after God's own heart. But you know, when you look back to this, even after this, they continued to think for themselves. And they asked for a king, 1 Samuel 8 chapter. Give us a king like all the other nations round about us. And God did exactly that. He hearkened to them. And he affected every king over Israel that ever served. And later on, there was the effect not only over Israel, but also over Judah. But going back to these kings that were first chosen while the kingdom was united, he shows a man that started to be very humble and very mild and very meek, Saul. But Saul disobeyed. He was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. But I went into his heart and I said, Saul, don't do that. Think about all the riches that are there. Think about how you could vaunt yourself as king if you brought back alive the king of the Philistines. Think about the Amalekites, rather. Think about how grand and famous you would be if you brought, and you would show forth your lordship over that other king. And not only that, but all the animals that are select can be yours. Don't kill them. And I affected him. And then that man after God's own heart, even he I affected later on. 2 Kings 11 chapter verses 1 and following, you have a king that used his position and power because of me to justify in his mind adultery and to take Bathsheba and to put to death and to lie and to deceive in connection with her husband. I caused that. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, I caused that. And then that other king, that third king, when their kingdom was united, that had been given by God a great and precious prize, but he did not stay with it. You see, I affected him. I influenced him. And when he was old then, he turned away from God and even built all of the different idols for his wives, which he was not to have in the first place. I affected that. I was the cause of silence for 400 years. The last prophet that would speak was Malachi. And then 400 years would pass before the hearing of God's word, the proclamation by mouth of a prophet in Israel. And he was the Elijah that was to come. And when he did come, he taught the truth. And the truth that he taught was, there's one that is coming after me that's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, not many days hence. And even at the preaching of the truth, I had to affect the people in connection with that truth, and I had him put to death. Herod promised, because of me, to give his stepdaughter whatever she wanted. And her mother, influenced by me, asked for the head of this Elijah, John the Baptizer. I was the cause. My master used me personally whenever he confronted the Savior himself in Matthew, the 4th chapter. And my master was so skilled in the way that he used me. The first thing he did when he said to the Lord, "If you truly are the Son of God, then command these stones to be made bread." And you see, the timing of my master is also very perfect. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before this happened. And then after that, he said to the master, "If you truly are the Son of God, cast yourself off from the high pinnacle of the temple, because it is written." My master is not dumb. He used scripture. And then that third, where he took him upon a exceedingly high mountain and said, and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, "If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms." My master uses me with skill. And don't think that he won't do that against you. If he'll do that against the Savior of all, he'll do it to each and every one of you. Judas was my master's greatest triumph, greatest work. You think back, before the deal was made by Judas to those of the Sanhedrin in collecting 30 pieces of silver from them for the price of betrayal, that this Judas had been chosen by Jesus in Matthew the 10th chapter, had received the work of the Holy Spirit in miracles during that limited commission. You see, my master wanted to infiltrate, and he did. He infiltrated the inner circle, the 12. He infiltrated them, and he put into the mind of Jesus, "You can be rich, you can have fame, you can be important. All you have to do is show him where he is to the Sanhedrin. They'll take it from there. You won't have to do anything else." That man that had been directed by the Holy Spirit, that worked miracles, that preached God's word, my master caused to turn his back then upon the Savior, the God of heaven, Christ Jesus. My master was hopeful for Peter's allegiance and almost got there completely. Where Jesus was taken to trial, my influence put him exactly where he needed to be for my master to affect him. He was joining himself with the Jews, listening in on the unlawful trial that was taking place, which I affected also. And there would be those that would come by and say, you're with them, your speech betrays you. No, I know not the man. And then giving an oath and a cursing along with that. And then the third time, where he denies his Lord. It was a grand thing that I caused, because on that third denial, as we see here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, the eyes of Peter and Jesus meet. I smote him. My master's use of me smote him. And we were hopeful that that would continue throughout his life. Oh, there were other times in which he failed and fell. But again, I was defeated. I lose some souls. Some I don't. By me, the majority of the crowd cried out for the blood of the righteous. John the 19th chapter and verse 6, therefore when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him. I find no fault in him. When we look over in Luke the 23rd chapter and verse 18, and they all cried out at once saying, away with this man and release to us Barabbas. An amazing situation that I caused. An innocent one is taken to be put to death. One that should have been put to death is released, and that by the cry of Jesus' own kinsmen. It was a glorious day. It was a glorious day. There were hopes that that would really end all the matter right there when this Jesus was put to death. You see, I'm the cause of all strife, hatred, division, disobedience, immoral action, and indifference, both physical and spiritual, in the lives of people. In James 4, chapter verse 1 through 4, Paul says this about me, my influence. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do desires come from the desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, and you may spend it upon your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or hatred toward God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You see, when one does that, they become my master's friend because they reject the God of heaven. I will have to admit, though, that one day, one event on one day proved that I could be overcome. Mark the 16th chapter and verse 6. When the angel of the Lord spoke to the women, he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. I tried every way to keep that from happening. I knew that had been the prophecy. I knew that Jesus had said it himself, that he would rise again from the dead the third day. I knew that. I tried to stop it from happening. I went not only in hand to put Jesus to death, but I asked of Pilate that a stone be placed over the tomb so that there would be no possibility of this. But you see, that one day overcome me, and that one day proved that I could not only be overcome by the Savior himself, but by all that would reject me. Who am I? I'm the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And by me, then, what takes place is that which separates people from God. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, but he tempts no one either. Every man is tempted when he is enticed and led away, and wherever that is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. You see, I bring forth sin. I separate those that heed me. I'm lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life. But thank God that there is another entity that exists. And that other entity would say this, I was also in the garden. But my beginnings were not at the garden like the other entity. I'm eternal. And we go back to Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verses 20 through 36. And that wise one, the one that started out wise, still wrote truth. And he says this about me, I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I've been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always with him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, for blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction, and do not disdain. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. You see, I was there at the beginning, even though I was before the beginning. And I was there giving instruction. I'd given instruction from God prior to Satan coming. But I was not heeded. I was used to teach that one that would be the first murderer when he was angry about his sacrifice not being accepted. And I told him, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door as desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Don't you understand you can escape if you will use me? But he would not listen. Because of me, mankind continued. Even though all but eight souls were lost because of the other entity, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Because of me, mankind continued. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6 and verse 8. And then when we look at verse 22, here is why. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And eight souls walked out of that ark because of me. Because I taught, truth would be recognized. There were two men that made this statement. David, whenever he was confronted by Nathan. Nathan told him the story about the little ewe lamb and the poor man and the rich man that had taken them, that poor one little ewe lamb, all the possessions of that poor man, and sacrificed him as a feast for his friend that would come. David being angry and so forth, I placed upon him the fact of the matter. You were nothing. You were little in your own eyes and in God's eyes, but I made you great. And look at how you've done me. And this man showed forth why he was the man after God's own heart. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. No excuses. Zero. You see, I was used to make that confession of wrong. Which, by the way, is a confession of wrong that I call all to make because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. But that other man spoke, and there was a problem. Because Saul spoke and tried to make, of course, excuse in every way, blaming first of all the people. And he couldn't do that. You see, I've done the commandment of the Lord. What meaneth in the bleeding of the sheep and lowering of the cattle that I hear in my ear, Samuel said to him. But the people wanted to save them for sacrifice. And not only the people, but it's also God loves sacrifice, so it's God's fault. And then he makes the statement after all of that whenever Samuel tells him, the kingdom will be taken from you. You see, he still will not use me. I have sinned, and in essence what he's saying there is this. I've been caught. Now don't leave me. I don't want to lose my position as king. And that was totally different from the one that walked in after me. The one that has said, that was it, God, the man after God's own heart, I have sinned, period. End of discussion. I admit it. The greatest enemy, death, will be forever destroyed. And it was done so because of what Christ Jesus did. Romans 6, verse 9 through 11, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And it is by me that one is in Christ Jesus. When I'm used, none can stand before me. The other entity mentioned that temptation of Jesus, that trial, testing of Jesus. And my master, if you truly are the Son of God, and in essence, Jesus dealing with my master, that Satan at that time said this, there's no question about that. I am the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread, the other entity said. And the master of all, the God of heaven, the Savior says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because it is written. Cast yourself off from the pinnacle, the other entity said. But I spoke forth from my master. You will not place judgment upon God's word, taking it out of context. That's really what Jesus said by me. All the kingdoms of the earth I give to you, if you'll bow down and worship me. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only will you serve. And besides that, Satan, I already have all the kingdoms of the earth. When I am used, there is knowledge from above. Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 21, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Right there, stop for a moment. Remember, the other entity in the days of the judges caused people to say, we're going to do what is right in our own eyes. I caused people to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? When I am applied, I present people acceptable to God. Colossians 1, verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The church herself is evidence of me. Ephesians, the third chapter, in verse 10. To the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You see that God pulls together all those that are his, both Jew and Gentile. It's that manifold wisdom. I'm used in the presentation of that by the existence of the church. I'm the source of all peace, harmony, and loving action, physical and spiritual. I cause people to be pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be approached, or reasonable, full of mercy, full of good works, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. James 3, verse 17 and 18. You already know who I am. I'm wisdom. I am the tool of the great master of all, the majesty on high. I'm the wisdom of and from God. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 24. If the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom of men. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling rock, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I'm wisdom. You walk by me, you live. You walk by the other, you die. You see, here's the fact of the matter with these two entities. Lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life can possess you, can rule over you, can enslave you. Romans 6, 12 and 13. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. And stop right there. You see, the other entity possesses you. But what is beautiful about this is that me, wisdom, you can possess me. James, the first chapter, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and caught and tossed by the wind. Let me ask you, as wisdom, how often do you pray for me? You understand that God is giving you a blank check on this. You ask, you will receive. You want wisdom, you'll get it. But do you ask, or when was the last time you asked for me? Either you can possess me, or be possessed by lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So, whom will you choose? Hebrews 12 and verse 9, the writer says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? James 4 and verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, and you, by me, you can be exalted to heaven. This day, who do you choose? Who do you choose? Maybe those in the audience that are not children of God. If you're not a child of God, you're walking by that first entity. You're walking by the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're rejecting and rebelling against God. But you can become a child of God by wisdom. The wisdom that is from God, not the wisdom of men that say baptism has nothing to do with salvation, even though God's wisdom says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure of reason baptism doth also now save us. Not putting away the filth of flesh, but an answer of a good conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, you can use wisdom and live. And then, those of us that have already done that, are we walking, do we pray for that wisdom? Or do we have the mindset, as Israel did, we know what to do. We can take care of it. We'll make provision and be defeated. There are those that we can help in any way. We ask you to come.